Ari Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Roger Goodell will remain the commissioner of the NFL after signing a contract extension with league owners. Goodell has been the NFL commissioner since 2006. Elsewhere, encouraging news for Ryan Shazier, the Steelers linebacker. He was deemed healthy enough to travel back to Pittsburgh for treatment Wednesday. Shazier suffered a spinal injury in Monday night's win in Cincinnati. Bengals safety George Iloka had his one-game suspension overturned on appeal Wednesday, but he was still fined $36,000 for a helmet-to-helmet hit on Steelers wideout Antonio Brown. Marcus Peters will be suspended Sunday by his own team. The Pro Bowl Chiefs corner will not be allowed to practice this week after he threw a flag and walked off the field during Sunday's loss to the Jets. Bills QB Tyrod Taylor did not practice Wednesday due to a knee injury. His status for Sunday is not yet known. Neither is Lions QB Matthew Stafford. He was limited Wednesday with a bruised right throwing hand. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Grant Langston, the new CEO of eHarmony. If you're online dating and looking for love, you're probably tired of the lazy text messages, dead-end conversations, and matches that never turn into dates. If that's you, it's time to try eHarmony. Dating apps of one kind or another have been around a long time, but at the end of the day, they're just virtual bars where no one ever buys you a drink. eHarmony's different. We're built to help you have a better relationship, and we do that with 17 years of research and experience. eHarmony's gotten really good at bringing compatible people together. People that want the same things you do and are ready for a real relationship. Hey, it can be fun to play around with online dating apps, but when you're ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love, eHarmony. Go to eHarmony.com today and get a month free when you buy a three-month plan. Use code DATE. eHarmony.com, use code DATE.
5:04, welcome back and welcome in to the Todd Brolenkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann. We'll get you to 7 o'clock tonight, and then it's Iowa State men's basketball coming your way on 1600 AM, the Cyclone Radio Network presentation with John Walters on the call. Iowa State, a 6.5, 7-point favorite, depending on where you're doing your holiday shopping with the Las Vegas bookmakers. And I would fully expect Iowa State to win this game tonight, but we'll see how things play out. And, of course, we'll have fallout and reaction for you tomorrow here on the program as well. More news to get to on that D. Gordon trade to the Seattle Mariners, the prospects involved in that, and the dollars and cents coming into clearer picture, as well as the rebuild officially begins with Derek Jeter's Miami Marlins. Baseball yet to come. Let's get back to Iowa State, though. It is sort of the Cedar Rapids Gazette Power Hour here because Dylan Montz is going to join us coming up at 5:35 tonight with the Iowa State perspective. But as promised, a major announcement for Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We are 63% of the way to fulfilling the promise of having 90 seconds of NASCAR produced and with an actual musical intro, Jeremiah. So next time, by the next time that you join us, unless Kyle really hates me and schedules you for programming tomorrow, in which I won't have enough time to do a turnaround, the next time that you're on with us, you'll have your intro. How about that?
That's fantastic. 63%, though? How'd you come at that number?
Very specific number. 63% of the way. People don't know this. There are a lot of analytics that go into being a sports talk radio host. It's taken over baseball, it's taken over basketball, and it's taken over the sports talk radio profession as well. Everything I do every day is broken down analytically.
What is our wins above replacement, Todd?
Negative 1.5. Oh. And that's when I'm no. here. It goes up when I'm not here. But I am going to out you. Jeremiah came up to me at the Penn State game after the game was over, and the first thing that he said to me is, when am I going to get my music? Not, hey, how you doing? Good to see you again.
It's been like three times
The only thing he said, hey, when am I going to get my music?
I've been on three or four times. You promised it to me every single time. So a guy gets curious.
Well, It's coming. It's going to be my Christmas present to you. How about that? Iowa State tonight. What do you think the chances are Fran McCaffrey mixes things up trying to get something going?
I think pretty good. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be in the starting lineup, but I think we're going to see all kinds of different combinations again. We might see Macy Daly and Brady Ellingson playing together almost exclusively. I think that combination worked really well, and the way they feed off each other with, you know, Macy Daly. Who'd have thought before this season started that we would be talking about how good Macy Daly has been, one, and two, that it's been at point guard that he has given his best contribution. You know, if I'm not the coach, and I don't like telling coaches how to do their job, but if I was Fran McCaffrey, Macy Daly would be my primary number two point guard until Connor comes back, and maybe even after that right away. But how he sort of rolls things out tonight, I think, is anyone's guess, because it hasn't really been the same night to night. It's just, you know, we might see another change up in the starting lineup at the three. You know, maybe he puts Bear back in there. At this point, anything's on the table because they've been, you know, so all over the place, you know, in the last couple of weeks.
So mixing things up is on the table. The other theory would be shortening things up, developing a little bit more continuity offensively. Is there any chance that he shortens his bench a little bit to do that?
Nope. Nope. That's not happening. We had him on the teleconference the other day, and I asked that question. I mean, I asked if there were, you know, you want to play groups of guys together for longer amounts of time, and he basically was like, you can't do that because, you know, foul trouble and situationally and this and this and this, essentially telling me and telling us that this is his plan. He's going to stick to it. You know, he's going to play his 12 guys. You know, there's you know, Jordan Bohannon's going to play 35 minutes. Tyler Cook's going to play 25 minutes, and everybody else is going to be somewhere between 12 and 20. That's just kind of how it's going to work out for now. And I don't think that he has any intention of changing that, frankly.
Jeremiah Davis with us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, covering the Iowa angle of the Iowa-Iowa State game tonight at Hilton Coliseum. What do the Hawkeyes need to do, in your opinion, to turn things around? They've lost four of their last five.
They have to figure out what's wrong offensively. I know defense is going to get picked on a lot, and fairly, because there were tons of breakdowns at Indiana, guys getting behind the zone, wide-open shots, and the defense is fun to pick on with this team, but offense drives the bus. This team cannot win games if it's not getting good shots with consistency. And then that's been the biggest culprit over the five of the last six losses is if for whatever reason, especially when Jordan Bohannon's running the point, the other four guys aren't, you know, connected. I didn't want to use that word because I know Fran uses it all the time, but it's just true. They're not together. It seems like they're trying to do too much on their own. When they get the ball, it's like, okay, I have to go score because I'm not going to get to play a whole lot, and I want to bring us back, so I'm going to go do this. And it devolves into this ISO YMCA level basketball that is just no good. And it's not what they're good at. When things were great last year, it was when they all had a purpose and they all, you know, bought into that motion offense. And when it's worked well this year, that's been the case. The first half against Virginia Tech and at times against Penn State, and then the first 6 minutes of the half at Indiana, you saw that. You saw the motion offense do its job. And for whatever reason, it's just they haven't relied on that. And a lot of that has to do with Jordan kind of having to do the zigzag drill full court for 30 minutes a night. And by the time he gets into the offense, everybody else has been waiting, and they're waiting for him to do something, and he's exhausted, and it's just this weird combination of things that I don't know how you fix it specifically, but patience is the number one thing, I think, for this team right now. Just trust that it's going to work and stick with it, and, you know, they'll be fine. It's just that's unfortunately, they haven't done that in five of the last six games.
Jeremiah, I apologize in advance. I'm going to use the word connected here, but it's interesting because you brought up the fact that everybody picks on the defense, yet the basketball program, Fran McCaffrey and the players, have talked mostly about the defense being disconnected. But is it fair to say at this point the offense has looked equally disconnected?
Maybe more so, honestly, because I'm way lower on the offense right now than I am the defense. Like my making the grade that came out the other day, I gave the offense a D- and the defense a C-. And I had a couple of people tell me I was too nice to the defense. But if you look at it, Iowa held the highest scoring team in the country to 80 points, and the last, probably 6 minutes of that game was garbage time. So, I don't know. They're playing okay on defense. They've gotten some really good shooting nights out of a couple of their opponents. You know, Penn State, the start of the Penn State game was bad defensively, but Penn State also made every shot. So I don't know. I think the offense, whatever expectations we set in terms of these guys being together and cohesive off the court, isn't necessarily translating to on the court. And I think I've been as big a culprit as anybody too closely connecting those two things, I think.
You mentioned Jordan Bohannon earlier, and I don't think it's any secret that the team opposing scouting reports have him listed as one of the biggest threats on the offensive end of the court. Does he look to be pressing at times, especially with the added emphasis that teams are putting on stopping him?
I think so, yeah. And in asking him about that, he's copped to that. You know, he took all the blame for the Indiana loss, which is not fair. You know, he certainly isn't the only reason why they lost that game. And but he's, you know, as a leader of the team, you know, he's doing what he needs to do in shouldering the responsibility. But he told us that he's trying to do a little too much. He's not sticking with what works. There's different things he's seeing he can do. But to give the kids some credit, you try doing that zigzag drill, avoiding the best defender on the other team for the whole court for 30 minutes a night, and be able to stand up after the game, let alone run the offense, play defense, and shoot from 30 feet. I don't know how he's able to walk after the game, let alone operate the offense effectively. So he needs to adjust. Yes, he needs to improve that in a big hurry if Iowa wants to salvage anything out of this season. It's just not. It's not all on him. His teammates can help him a little bit better. His coaching staff can help him a little bit better with what they design for them to run, and he's got to execute.
It's December 7th, and you just used the phrase, if Iowa wants to salvage the season. At what point do people officially have the right to become concerned?
Oh, I think if after this game, after tonight's game against Iowa State, the schedule lightens back up again, right? And we've had the schedule conversation a million times. If they don't win either all of those games after this one up until Big Ten restarts, or, you know, at least look very good in all of them, I think then we can really, really start to wonder what this season is going to end up, because the Big Ten isn't as good as it's been. I mean, pay attention to what a couple of the losses Wisconsin's had. Purdue hasn't looked outstanding, even though they've been good. It seems like it's going to be Michigan State and everybody else. But still, if you can't show out against teams you're supposed to beat and beat them soundly, then I think that's time to panic. I don't know. There's a lot of season left, and they were 4-5 at this point last year, right? And they came into this game won handily against Iowa State, and after that, it was much better. There's every chance that storyline could follow again this year. It's not like these kids forgot how to play basketball. They just have to remember what worked really well, and, you know, I guess they just have to figure it out. I don't know if I'd be as inexact as I can be in that analysis.
Is Iowa State, with their guard play and playing at home, as bad of a matchup as it looks?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you've got a 6'5", 200-pound point guard, and then two 6'2", roughly 180-pound guards to play beside him in the backcourt. I don't know how Iowa defends all three at one time. Because you've got Moss and Bohannon out there, but if you're going to roll either Bear, or Wagner, or Nungy at the three, which one of those three guards Lindell Wigginson or Donovan Jackson or Nick Weiler-Babb? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And if the answer is you have to roll Macy Daley, Isaiah Moss, and Jordan Bohannon on the floor at the same time, maybe you do that. You know, it's going to be, I, I don't know how Iowa defends that. I don't if Iowa State is going to blow, if it's going to be a blowout in Iowa State's favor tonight, that's how it happens, is that their guards are going to have a field day. You know, obviously, Fran knows that too, so I'm sure they have a plan, but I'd love to know what it is because I can't figure it out. I'm not smart enough for that.
Iowa wins tonight if?
If they dictate things offensively. You know, what we were just talking about with Iowa State's guards being hard for Iowa to defend, Iowa State's going to have equally as hard of a time on the other end defending all the bigs Iowa has if the offense is working. You know, that same mentality I just talked about, I don't know how Donovan Jackson guards Jack Nungy, you know, if Nungy is playing to his potential. So it's Iowa's going to need Iowa State to have a poor shooting night and to finally figure out things on offense if they want to win tonight.
You mentioned Jack Nungy, and that's been interesting to me because he kind of looks like he's still trying to figure out what role he's going to fill on this team, and somebody brought up the fact that he's learning three different positions. Do you think he eventually settles into one of them? And which one?
No, but only because I think it's going to be good for him to be able to play in those three spots. It's a hard learning curve, you're right, but I think he's, you know, if you want to talk about how the freshmen have done, Jack Nungy has been way better than Luka Garza has, and Luka Garza only is playing two positions. So, and really those two positions are about the same. You know, he doesn't have much different responsibilities, whereas Nungy is all over the map, and I think he's responded pretty well. There have been times where he's had lapses, to be certain, but I think he's handling it pretty well, and I think that the reason he was recruited is because he has the ability to do all of those things. He has the tools to work in all three of those positions, and Fran kind of needs him to be that because they don't have enough in the backcourt right now to be able to, you know, let him work only inside out. And plus, he kind of has that, you know, obviously he's not Kevin Durant, but he has that sort of style and that approach to where the way he plays, that he kind of plays more like a wing than a post to begin with. So you kind of want to let him work outside in, and he's the one I'll defend if we're talking about trying to have guys do too many things. He's the one I would say that needs to stay versatile, needs to stay at multiple positions.
All right, Jeremiah, for the last time ever, without any actual introduction, we've got 90 seconds of NASCAR, and you're on a very, very elevated plane because the last time that you were with us, I don't know whether you know this, we run a couple short-form national programs about racing, and the last time that you were on with us, your 90 seconds of NASCAR was virtually identical to one of a said short-form. Which one do you remember? Was it the...
It was NASCAR Today.
NASCAR Today.
Leads off the 6 o'clock hour. Exactly well, I think
it
the
was
same the, thing.
I think it was a Martin Truex Jr.
Yes.
Soliloquy, if I recall correctly. So, Jeremiah, we're putting you on the clock. Go.
Well, you know, I struggled with this week because there's not a whole lot going on in NASCAR right now, but I'll go with this. Cedar Rapids native Landon Castle and Joey Gase are both looking for work right now, I think it's an interesting time in the sport where these two guys have reached the top levels in different ways. Landon was sort of had a sort of meteoric rise from Cedar Rapids into NASCAR, and Joey worked his way up, found money to do it. They're both looking for work, and it's not looking great right now. I think they both are searching for partners, searching for things to work with, and what happens in the next couple months with teams and the charter system is what's going to dictate a lot. I think Landon has a really good chance of landing something. I just don't know how good how good the equipment's going to be is the problem for him. As for Joey, that's a little more tentative. I think we're going to see Joey end up in a situation like he was in the Cup Series this year, where he's kind of week to week and doing a couple things. But I would be willing to bet that they're both going to be in the Daytona 500, which is going to be really cool, again, to have two different Cedar Rapids drivers in that race and representing Eastern Iowa in the biggest race in the world. So we'll keep you updated as soon as we can on what's going on and what their futures are.
Alex, can we get an official time?
1 minute, 26 0.87 seconds.
That is a new 90 seconds of NASCAR record. Jeremiah, congratulations. You can't see this right now, but balloons and confetti are dropping from the ceiling in the KGYM studios. We will talk with you at some point next week, and when we do, I hope that you're only mildly disappointed by the intro for 90 seconds of NASCAR talk. Appreciate it as always. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jens. Have a good one.
Jeremiah Davis covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Dylan Montz covers the Cyclones, and he's going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. 5:22, the names have been revealed in the D. Gordon trade. The Marlins and the Mariners getting together to ship the two-time All-Star and brother of former Cedar Rapids Colonel Nick Gordon to the Mariners. We'll give you a little bit more of the details about that as the hot stove begins to heat up back after this.
Looking for a career that you can actually be excited about? Look no further than CCC Information Services. CCC is now hiring remote customer service positions in the Cedar Rapids area. This position processes inbound calls and enters vehicle data for potential total loss insurance claims. The best part? You work from the comfort of your own home, not a call center. No commuting and no cost filling the gas tank. Great candidates will have 2 to 3 years of customer service experience, excellent verbal and written communication skills, and the ability to travel to Sioux Falls for paid training. CCC Information Services is a stable, growing employer, and they're eager to meet talented individuals with excellent customer service skills and a positive attitude. CCC offers competitive benefits, great bonuses, and career advancement opportunities. Starting pay is between $13 and $14 per hour. For full details and to apply online, go to cccis.com. CCC Information Services is an equal opportunity employer. Go to cccis.com right now.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
5:24, welcome back in the Todd Brummelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn, and we're here until 7 o'clock tonight, although not on all three frequencies because it's 6:30 tonight, just as we did last night. We're going to switch over to 1600 AM on the Cyclone Radio Network. John Walters and Eric Heft will have the Cyclone call of the game from Hilton Coliseum. If you can't listen to it on KGYM, it's going to be on ESPN2. Tonight, and of course, the Iowa broadcast will be available on the Hawkeye Radio Network all across the state. 319-366-1600, that is the number to reach us at the Hertine and Stocker text line. And before we get any further into the program, I want to take a moment to tell you about a website to check out, lowtusa.com. If you do, you're going to learn more about Mantality, which is a new local men's health clinic located in North Liberty that's dedicated to getting you feeling like your old self. If you want to give yourself a Christmas present, maybe you can check into Mantality and testosterone replacement therapy. It sounds scarier than it actually is. It's really not that painful, as I understand it. It involves a blood draw and maybe a couple shots and some other treatments that are shipped to you. You don't have to go to the pharmacy or anything. You are dealing with board-certified physicians, actual doctors, actual nurse practitioners. Insurance covers it. It's legitimate. And they have a 90% success rate of getting people back on track regardless of your physical condition. You don't have to be a physical specimen walking through the door. You can be a fat schlub like somebody that I know, not naming any names in particular. Perhaps he stares back at you in the mirror every day when you look at him. Testosterone replacement therapy, just one of the many things that Mantality can help you with. And again, they're located in North Liberty. The website to learn more information is lowtusa.com. The Mariners are sending three prospects to the Marlins. They are taking on D. Gordon's entire remaining salary, and they are also getting $1 million in Monopoly money to put toward their international signing pool, which is going to help give them more money right now than the Texas Rangers in the bid to lure Shohei Ohtani to Seattle. So that trade goes down. Now, one of the names involved is a right-handed pitcher named Nick Neidert, who was in Class A last year. I think he may have gotten a taste of Double A at the end of the year. He pitched in Clinton a couple years ago and is a really good guy, and I've been following his career because the Clinton play-by-play broadcaster at the time, was a good friend of mine. When they were away on a road trip, had his apartment broken into, and a number of items were stolen. And he was devastated. And as you can imagine, a minor league play-by-play guy doesn't make a whole ton of money. And they got back to Clinton, and Nick Neidert took him on a shopping spree, bought him a brand new TV. I think he bought him a brand new pair of tennis shoes that were stolen as well, and did it out of the kindness of his heart. So rooting for him to succeed and now following his career as a member of the Miami Marlins organization.
No word on if he ever went to somebody's house, clogged the toilet, and didn't tell the person.
No, I was really hoping Aaron Sleggers was going to be on the Twins winter caravan this year. Colonel's Hot Stove, January 17th. We'll tell you more about it coming up before 7 tonight. Right now, time for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa women's basketball team beat Iowa State inside Hilton Coliseum last night for the first time since 1989 by a final score of 61-55. Megan Gustafson turned in 16 points and 14 rebounds, but the Hawkeyes were led in scoring by Mackenzie Meyer with 18. It was a defensive struggle all night, and the Hawkeyes held the Cyclones to just 29% from the floor to get the win. Iowa defensive back Josh Jackson has a good chance to take home the Jim Thorpe Award tonight. He's one of three finalists at the College Football Hall of Fame for the College Football Award Show. Former Hawkeye Bob Stoops will make the presentation around 6 o'clock. Jackson, along with Josie Jewell, was also named a first-team All-American by Sports Illustrated, and Iowa State linebacker Joel Lanning was also recognized by Sports Illustrated, being named a second-team All-American as an all-purpose player. Lanning was on the field for 934 snaps this season for the Cyclones, and he's the first player to record a sack, interception, fumble recovery, and both a passing and rushing touchdown in a single season since Eric Weddle did it for Utah in 2006. Jamie Pollard gave another update on ticket sales for the Liberty Bowl this morning. He says both Iowa State and Memphis have sold out their 15,000 ticket allotments. It's the men's turn to go at it in the Cy-Hawk Series tonight, and we'll have that game from Ames beginning at 6:30 on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. That means we'll wrap up the final 30 minutes of our show on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And then beginning at 7:30, we'll have the girls from Solon hosting West Branch on those same North and South Gym FM frequencies.
All right, you and I and Texas Arlington on tap tonight at 7 o'clock as well from the McLeod Center, and that may even be a better game than Iowa and Iowa State. But we'll talk Cyclones with Dylan Montz of the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need at their next CPAP BiPAP clinic. Get details at careprohealthservices.com.
Honey, you're snoring again.
Oh, sorry.
Is your snoring bothering her? It's possible you have sleep apnea. Talk to your doctor about it. If you do have sleep apnea, find just the right CPAP or BiPAP machine at CarePro Home Medical. They'll get you the correct equipment, make sure you have the right mask with a proper fit, and explain how the equipment works. Help your health. Make her happy with a CPAP from CarePro Home Medical. CarePROHealthServices.com.
Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter, breaking news into the Sports Center newsroom at this hour. Rack up another award for Oklahoma's Baker Mayfield. He's expected to be named the Walter Camp Player of the Year. In fact, he has just been named the Walter Camp Player of the Year award winner for college football. He was already named the Associated Press College Football Player of the Year. Don't forget, he is your leading favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. Coverage starting Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Television, and also exclusively right here on ESPN Radio. The College Football Awards ceremonies and shows presented by Home Depot tonight beginning at 7 in the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta. D. Gordon on his way from the Miami Marlins to the Seattle Mariners, so the purge of the Marlins has begun. Gordon gets traded along with the $38 million that is remaining on his contract. Jahlil Okafor, formerly of number three overall pick of the Philadelphia 76ers. He gets shipped out today to the Brooklyn Nets along with Nick Stauskas and the 2019 second-round pick that once belonged to the New York Knicks. Thursday Night Football, Saints and the Falcons in the ATL. Coverage at 8:25 Eastern.
Domino's loves you so much that they're offering 50% off the menu price on all pizzas when you order now on Domino's.com. Online only and valid November 27th through December 7th. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer only applies to the pizza portion of your order.
All right, welcome to F-150 Radio. Today, the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. Why? Eugene, go.
I think because Ford engineers always add new stuff, so the competition can't catch up.
Whoa, Eugene sounds like an expert.
Well, I got a store that sells exclusively bar-raising merchandise, like a calendar with an extra month.
An extra month?
Extrabuary. It has 32 days.
So you can appreciate the new 2018 F-150 raising the bar with available Bliss with trailer coverage. It monitors your truck's and your trailer's blind spots.
How about our new bar-raising poker chips? You can play with them or eat them. So,
The new 2018 F-150 raises the bar with auto start stop, standard on all engines, and an available 10-speed transmission.
We have sandals with available built-in socks.
And we are out of time.
Huge in Oregon.
This is the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar.
Driver assist features like Bliss are supplemental and do not replace the driver's attention, judgment, and the need to control the vehicle.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-222-9133. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-222-9133. That's 800-222-9133. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-222-9133. 800-222-9133.
All this stuff going on today, and we haven't even mentioned that Tennessee finally found its football coach.
Yes,
and actually seems to have come out of this looking decent. Jeremy Pruitt, who's the defensive coordinator at Alabama, or was the defensive coordinator at Alabama, is going to be taking over the volunteer program moving forward. Nick Saban, his former boss, had some very nice things to say about him. One other coaching tidbit: former Nebraska coach Mike Riley goes back to Corvallis, Oregon for his third stint at Oregon State. He's not going to be the head coach, but he is joining the staff as an assistant coach.
At what point does he just say, you know what, I'm probably going to spend the rest of my career in Corvallis?
Right now. I think
yes.
I think he's probably coming to that realization right now.
Jonathan Smith was hired from Washington to take over his alma mater. He was a defensive coordinator at the University of Washington, and he has hired Mike Riley onto the staff for his third stint in Corvallis. He left the first time to go to the Chargers, came back. Left the second time to go to the Nebraska, and now has come back as an assistant coach in Corvallis. So yes, I think that this will probably be his final stop.
Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register reports that Iowa's Ryan Kreener will be a game-time decision tonight at Hilton Coliseum, so we'll see whether or not he is able to go for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes tonight. They are about a 7-point underdog to the Cyclones. We talked with Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette to kick off hour number two tonight. Now we're going to get the Cyclone perspective with Dylan Montz. Dylan, how big is this game tonight for Steve Prohm and the Cyclones?
Yeah, it's a big one just in the fact that they've gotten on a little bit of a roll in the last five games after kind of tinkering with the lineup a little bit. It's just kind of a continuation of them finding an identity, finding some cohesion with all the new guys that they have on their roster. So I know they're looking forward to getting out there and seeing what they can do against a high major opponent.
Are we seeing what you expected from Lindell Wigginton? The flashes of brilliance, some struggles here and there, and all the talent in the world, but now also moving and switching positions, how much has that helped as well?
Yeah, I think just for new guys not being asked to take on the full responsibility of initiating offense and getting guys into spots. If he's playing off the ball, I think you get to see him be a little bit more comfortable, see him flash some of that potential that he's had and came into Iowa State with, a five-star recruit from Rivals, played at Oak Hill Academy. So he's played high-level basketball before. But even for him, it's going to be an adjustment because the jump from high school to college is so different. But I think with Nick Weiler-Babb taking over the point guard spot on a more full-time basis, seeing Lindell play off the ball, you can see him get into a little bit more of a rhythm with his shot, see him get his confidence there, and then let him use a little bit of his athleticism to get into the paint and make smarter decisions and make good decisions. So I think that gets him comfortable, and he's, like you said, kind of seen his flashes of brilliance at times, especially against Northern Illinois.
You mentioned Weiler-Babb emerging at the point guard position. What is it about his game that Steve Prohm decided to elevate his role?
Yeah, Steve Prohm talked about Weiler-Babb having a really high basketball IQ, a guy that has kind of been around it, not in high major minute scenarios, but he's been around guys like Monte Morris, Nazmi Trulong, Matt Thomas, guys who have played a lot of high-level basketball. So he kind of got to play behind them. Brought up the ball at times last year, and I know they kind of like his style because of his IQ, but also he's a little bit bigger at 6'5", and really can kind of create a few different mashups there out front to, like we said, to get the ball on the wing to Lindell Wigginton or Donovan Jackson for spot ups, which is maybe more suits their skill set better. So I think he likes it for a variety of reasons, but the main one is he's kind of a continuation of those high level. High IQ guys that Steve Prohm has had in the past.
Do you think that game earlier in the year against Milwaukee was a little bit of a wake-up call for this team? Because Steve Prohm, following that game, talked about it. He said, you know what the chatter is going to be about. You know what it's going to look like on Twitter and Facebook, and this team has to respond.
Yeah, I certainly think it was a wake-up call. They've not lost in Hilton, period, very much over the last few years. And to not only lose at Hilton in the non-conference, to a Milwaukee-type team, but to basically get run out of the gym, I think it was an eye-opener for those guys. And they were a little bit shorthanded that game, too. And I know they're not using that as an excuse, but I think it was, as tough as it was for fans to watch, I'm sure, it was kind of maybe a switch that flipped for these guys to kind of make some changes and, like you said, tinker with the lineups and really kind of put those guys in better spots. So it was much of a of an eye-opener for the coaches as it was for the players, and everybody's kind of gotten more on the same page and started to create a more solid identity, as you've seen in these last five games.
Dylan Montz with us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette tonight, getting the Iowa State perspective on the Cy-Hawks showdown. Again, Iowa State a heavy favorite, about a 6 to 7 point favorite over the Hawkeyes tonight. What is the key matchup tonight to keep an eye on, in your opinion, in this game?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different ones, but the ones I'm interested to watch at are in the guard play. I think seeing how Iowa kind of combat what Iowa State has in the guards with Nick Weiler-Babb, Donovan Jackson, and Lindell Wigginton kind of out on the perimeter, Iowa doesn't really have the depth at that position to necessarily match up all the time with those guys. So what can Iowa State do to get Donovan Jackson open looks, to get Lindell Wigginton maybe into the paint and drive a little bit? And then from an Iowa perspective, I'm interested to see how they can use some of those big guys. And Tyler Cook, I believe, did not play in that game last year. So what kind of position can he be put in to kind of showcase his athleticism and things of that nature? And how many other guys can they kind of put in spots down low to take advantage of their size? Because Iowa State hasn't really seen a lot of teams of size this year. I think Missouri had the most size of any team that they've seen, and Missouri was able to kind of take advantage of a lot of things down there. So I think that those are kind of the two areas, at least, I'm looking at.
There was speculation yesterday that Iowa State might only have 8 players available for tonight's game. News just came across about an hour ago that Jacoby Long is good to go, so Iowa State will have 9. But could depth be an issue, or a fatigue being it, or something to keep an eye on from an Iowa State side tonight?
Yeah, I think it's something to always keep an eye on, at least from an Iowa State side. And Steve Prohm really only likes to play 7 and maybe 8 guys on any given night. He kind of likes to pick his guys and let them go out and play. But if Iowa State does get into foul trouble trying to defend the post, if it's an up-and-down game where Iowa State has to, if they're running those guards all the time, it is going to be interesting to see kind of how that factors in and what Steve Tom does to kind of counter that or kind of get around it, or what substitution patterns he uses. So I think it's always something to look at when you're talking about Iowa State. But, I think if they feel good about where they're at with their main seven guys. If they get too far beyond that, I'm not really sure kind of what depth they will have and how much they can rely on the 8 or 9 or maybe 10 guys if they go that deep. But I still see it kind of sticking around that 7-8 range.
Now, when we had Jeremiah on, I asked him, Iowa wins tonight if. Now, since Iowa State is the favorite, I'm going to ask you, Iowa State loses tonight if what happens?
I think Iowa State loses if they get into foul trouble and if Iowa finds a way to just pound it in the post. I think, like I said earlier, that's the biggest thing. They have a distinct size advantage with a lot of those guys down there, and even some guys that can kind of stretch out to the perimeter at times. So if Iowa can really limit its turnovers, if they can get it into the post a lot and make Iowa State make it a hard guard for them, I think it could be a long night for the Cyclones. So I think that's going to be the interesting thing for me.
It was interesting. I was having a conversation about the Iowa Hawkeyes earlier today, and I said that there's not one thing right now you can point to and say is a strength of this team. Through 7 games for Iowa State, are there a couple of things that you can point to and say this team is pretty good at X or Y?
Yeah, I still think they make pretty good decisions at times. In the last several games, they've started to get on a little bit more of an offensive rhythm. Donovan Jackson hit some shots, and then that was a big concern coming into the year. Who are they going to have as shooters? But I think moving Jackson off the ball and giving it to Wyler Babb, they started to get a little bit more of an offensive rhythm, and they'll still have their lulls probably throughout the season where it isn't as sharp as they want it to be. But I think if Donovan Jackson can kind of stay off the ball, and if Lindell Wigginton can kind of get comfortable in that role, they could have a couple shooters that are maybe a little bit at least of a continuation of the identity they've tried to have in the last several years.
After tonight, what's the rest of the month of December hold for the Cyclones?
Yeah, they kind of have some, other than you and I in Des Moines, there are kind of some sleepers in the non-conference to kind of get through, and then they pick it up with Big 12 play, I believe, the 29th against Kansas State at home. And the Big 12 is always a grind, obviously, for them. But they got to kind of, after this game, they have a few more tune-up type games to kind of build on that identity. And then, obviously, the Northern Iowa game is always one that has provided challenges and is a tough matchup, and one that will be a really good test, I think, for this group. I think tonight's a good test. I think that will be a good test to kind of just check in to see what kind of progress you made before you get into Big 12. So I think there are a couple more really important thoughts of this team to make before you get into conference play.
So I brought up the strengths, and it's been no secret that this is a youthful team. Where does the youth tend to show up? What areas does the youth tend to show up the most for this Iowa State team?
I think defensively. I think for teams, defense, there's no real quick fix or no quick learning curve for that. There's always challenges. And kind of when I talked about Wigginton moving from high school to college and some of the things you have to learn, I think that goes for everybody when you talk about defense. So you'll see lapses at times, especially in the post where they have so many young guys that, there'll be miscommunication or not as good a challenge as Steve Prohm wants on a back-to-the-basket situation or things like that. So I think that's probably what their biggest weakness is right now, is just finding a way to stop people. But there's no way to fix that unless you go out and just keep repeating it, play games, try to build good habits that way. So I think that's kind of where they're at now, is trying to do a little bit more of that.
Dylan Montz, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, game time right around the corner. We appreciate it as always. Thanks, Dylan.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care.
5:46, your thoughts on who wins tonight, Iowa or Iowa State? It's the poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway at KGYMRadio.com. Find Emil's on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. And if I know Emil's as well as I do, I think at least one or two of the TVs will be tuned to ESPN2 tonight for Iowa and Iowa State. It's an uphill climb for the Hawkeyes. They've lost 4 of their last 5. Iowa State looking at a nine-man rotation tonight with injuries taking a bite out of what Steve Prohm has available to him. And this game could go a number of ways, but I think the Cyclones are favored for a reason. And go back to what Jeremiah said. After this game, if Iowa loses, it would be five of its last six. And at that point, I think concern would really be setting in among the Iowa fan base.
I think so, but I also think that it would be the way that they look. If they go on the road and they have a spirited effort where they put some things together, they're a little bit better defensively, they look like they're flowing offensively, and they lose by two on another buzzer beater, or they lose a close game at Hilton, I don't think a lot of people are necessarily pushing the panic button just yet. But if they look like they did against Indiana the other night on the road, where nothing is working offensively or defensively, and no matter what lineup Fran is putting out there, it's not working, then yes, I think that there will be people hitting the panic button. And at this point, I can't necessarily blame them. And I know that there's some youth on this team. I expected them to be ready. I expected them to have a much easier time of in this non-conference schedule of beating some opponents like Louisiana, like South Dakota State. They haven't done that. And here we are looking at this team with an 0-2 record in the Big Ten, trying to stay afloat.
The Ball family is
excellent
at it again.
Transition.
5:48, when we come back, we'll tell you what LeVar and the rest of the gang are up to. It involves a number of things, including emojis, a feud with the president, and, of course, as was announced earlier in the week, no longer playing at UCLA. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
Back in 1947, when young Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, the sparse utility of the war years was ready to give way to the cheer of color in fashion, furniture, and of course, jewelry. Women from Hollywood starlet to housewife glowed with colored gemstones on ear, neck, and hand. Often these beauties were received in a Hertine and Stocker box on Christmas morning. Ruby red and emerald green, blue sapphire, purple amethyst, aquamarine. Colored gemstones are again bringing cheer and joy. In fact, any one of these rare beauties would make an unforgettable holiday gift this year. So come see what's sparkling in those famous frosty windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish happy holidays and a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate, one of them is always there.
RCC invades the U.S. Cellular Center on December 29th with live MMA fights presented by the Matthew Lepik Elite Home Team. Witness the doctor, Joe Vitapo, take on Daniel Bulldog Vizcaya, Derek, the Cedar Rapids Cycle Lofer, up against Bogus John Duvall. The Rebirth, Parnell Davis battling Aaron Jawbreaker Powers. Tyrone, Native Warrior Roberts versus David the Nightmare Glover. And Sarah Primal Patterson against Morel the Mo Machine Charneski. Tickets and bout updates at www.rccfights.com.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
551. Now, let me get this straight. The guy's nickname is Bogus. That implies
yes.
Fake, right? Bogus. Fake.
Yeah.
Not real.
Lame.
Pretender. Why would you want that to be your nickname?
I don't know.
And how did he go about getting the nickname? Now,
well, it's clear to me that somebody followed your rule, Todd. I tried to give myself a nickname a couple
now,
of days
see,
ago.
See, it's not my rule. It's from Seinfeld.
Okay.
George Costanza tried to give himself his own nickname. He wanted to be known as T-Bone, and then he wound up being referred to by his coworkers as Coco, the monkey.
Somebody had to have given him that nickname, and he just sort of took it and ran with it, like absorbing the feces that somebody's throwing at you. That's just, I can't understand why a fighter would want.
I've got more questions than I do answers at this point.
I don't know.
Bogus.
Bogus.
It sounds cool.
Not really.
Do you know what it means? It sounds cool. Okay. Yeah, don't hurt me. 31936. That would be my nickname if I were an MMA fighter. Todd, don't hurt me, Brommelkamp. Please, Todd, cowering in the corner in the fetal position, don't hurt me, Brommelkamp. Striking fear into the minds of opponents every time they would hear that nickname. There will be no more members of the Ball family playing college basketball, according to a report from CBS Sports. Not only has LeVar Ball taken LiAngelo out of UCLA, thus I think probably making Steve Alford's 2017, but the youngest of the three Balls, LaMelo, has reportedly hired an agent. They have agents now, so it's going
so
to be...
So he can't, they literally cannot play college basketball
cannot
now.
Cannot play college basketball now.
I don't know. I'm just trying, really tired of having to muster up a response to something that the Ball family does, because it seems like it's the exact same thing every time. Wow, that seems dumb. But yeah, then somehow it works out.
LeVar is also trying to reignite his feud with the President of the United States. He tweeted out an animated GIF earlier today of him dunking on the President. LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball have signed with Harrison Gaines and will play professionally overseas, according to their father, LeVar Ball, who spoke with ESPN on Thursday. So, no more Ball family members in college. You said somebody on the text line, I hope they were joking.
87-35.
Suggested that Fran McCaffrey should get in on the UCLA transfer.
Yes. Well, quote, maybe Fran should work on recruiting the ex-UCLA Ball.
That ship has now sailed since he has an agent. So not that Iowa would have wanted that headache anyway, but maybe some other point guard. Just a thought, because it's an issue for the Hawkeyes. 5:54, time now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. Midwest One, where you're the one. Kyle's joining us in the studio.
The Iowa women's basketball team beat Iowa State inside Hilton Coliseum last night for the first time since 1989 by a final score of 61-55. Megan Gustafson turned in 16 points and 14 rebounds, but the Hawkeyes were led in scoring by Mackenzie Meyer with 18. It was a defensive struggle all night, and the Hawkeyes held the Cyclones to just 29% from the floor. Iowa defensive back Josh Jackson has a good chance to take home the Jim Thorpe Award tonight. He's one of three finalists at the College Football Hall of Fame for the College Football Award Show. Former Hawkeye Bob Stoops will be making that presentation shortly. Hopefully should have some news for you on my next big board. Jackson, along with Josie Jewell, was also named a first-team All-American by Sports Illustrated. And Iowa State linebacker Joel Lanning was also recognized by Sports Illustrated, being named a second-team All-American as an all-purpose player. Lanning was on the field for 934 snaps this season, and he's the first player to record a sack, interception, fumble recovery, and both a passing and rushing touchdown in a single season since Eric Weddle did it for Utah in 2006. Jamie Pollard gave another update on ticket sales for the Liberty Bowl this morning. He says both Iowa State and Memphis have sold out their 15,000 ticket allotments. It's the men's turn to go at it at the Cy-Hawk Series tonight, and we'll have that game from Ames beginning at 6:30 on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. That means we'll wrap up the final 30 minutes of our show on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And then beginning at 7:30, we'll have the girls from Solon hosting West Branch on those North and South Gym FM frequencies.
319-366-1600, that is the Hurtin & Stocker text line. It's also the number to call right now to take home a $50 gift certificate to Hurtin & Stocker. We'll take caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. Hurtin & Stocker, located at 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. This would be a nice opportunity for you to pick up a stocking stuffer for a loved one, or if you are an insensitive jerk such as I am, you could use it on yourself. There are no rules attached to this. It's a $50 free roll on anything that you would like to take home from Hurtin & Stocker. Alex, if you won this, we're not eligible to win, by the way, so put your phone away. If you won this, would you spend it on somebody else, or would you spend it on yourself?
Well, I would spend it on somebody else, because not because I'm a selfless person, but because I don't really wear watches. I don't really wear jewelry all that often. Not that I don't like jewelry or watches. I just don't usually wear them, so I know somebody else would enjoy it much more than I would.
5:57 and plenty more to get to coming up on the program. Jan Jensen is going to be joining us at the top of the hour. She is celebrating, as did Lisa Bluter and the rest of the Hawkeyes, a victory over the Cyclones last night at Hilton Coliseum. Their first since 1989. And we'll hear what she has to say about that. It was a happy bus ride home for the Hawkeyes. The men going at it tonight on 1600 AM will break away at 6:30. Coming up at the bottom of hour number three, John Walters and Eric Heft on the call, Cyclone Radio Network. So you want to catch the final 30 minutes of the show tonight, you'll have to do it on our FM frequencies, 106.3 or 107.5, or listen online, kgymradio.com. Hour number three, next.
All right, welcome to F-150 Radio.